Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are, and welcome to Women in Project Management, Leaders in Charge. This presentation is a panel presentation. Will feature a number of leaders in project management and is part of the International Project Management Day on November 1st, 2012. Our agenda for today will be introductions by myself, Martin Chernenkov, word from our sponsor, Frank Salatis, and then introductions of each of our panel members, followed by the discussion and a wrap-up. Our sponsor for today's presentation is Frank Salatis, PMP. Many of you may know Frank Salatis from the International Institute for Learning, IIL. Frank is a senior consultant and trainer for IIL and is the originator of International Project Management Day. He is the author of several highly regarded books within the project management community. He is a speaker and a trainer. And for those of you who've possibly had the opportunity to see him on YouTube, Frank is the author and presenter of The Project Management Blues. And now, Frank, a few words from you introducing today's International Project Management Day presentation.
Thank you, Martin, for moderating this very interesting and useful panel. And I'd also like to thank the panel themselves, especially Naomi, for organizing the panel, and to Deanne and Vicky for taking their time to share their ideas and their knowledge about project management and this idea of women in project management. The purpose of International Project Management Day is to recognize project managers for their contributions to their organizations. Everyone, everywhere, experiences the results of project management every day, so it's fitting to have this day of recognition. The topic of women in project management was selected as a major theme this year, mainly because we want to enhance the awareness of opportunities in the field of professional project management. And we wanted to especially focus on that area for women who are considering their career options. So I'd like to extend my personal thanks again to the panel and to project managers everywhere for their continued dedication in this very fascinating and ever-growing field. And with that, I'd like to turn this back over to Martin and enjoy the rest of the day.
Our panel today consists of myself, Martin Chernenkov, and three world-class women project managers. Between the panel represents 60 years of global experience. We have people from North America, Europe, and the Pacific. These are global thought leaders, speakers, and authors, one of whose objective is to advance the women in project management through their speaking and authoring. Let me start by introducing you to Naomi Caietti. Naomi is the chair for the Women in Project Management theme for International Project Management Day. Naomi's focus is on leadership. She is a blogger, a speaker, and a contributing author to a number of websites, and is very involved with PMI. Good morning, good afternoon, Naomi.
Thanks, Martin. It's great to be here today.
Next on the panel is Deanne Earle. Deanne is the author of Unlike Before. Unlike Before is her philosophy, her company, and her blog. Deanne's main focus is on change management. She has created a model called the ATI model, Alter, Transform, and Integrate. Deanne brings today a global perspective. She originates in New Zealand, as you may notice by the accent, and is currently working and living in Italy. Good afternoon, Deanne.
Good morning, Martin. It's nice to be here today with yourself and the other panelists.
I'd like to introduce you to Vicky James. She is with Professional Project Solutions. Vicky is both a certified business analyst and a certified project manager. Vicky's focus is on project sponsorship, in which she is co-authoring a book, which will be available in next year. Good afternoon, Vicky.
Good afternoon, Martin. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for moderating us today.
And thank you. Finally, myself, I am Martin Chernenkov, PMP. I am the founder of PDUOTD.com, website for professional development. I am an IT project management consultant and a project management trainer. And I was introduced to this fine panel of women in project management through social media. We're all involved in Twitter through the hashtag PMOT and the hashtag PMChat. And we were introduced to one another through LinkedIn. Our first question for the panel, you're all involved in project management. And what we're seeing a lot of discussion in the project management forums and in the Congress relates to project management and business strategy. How can we ensure that how can PMs ensure that the projects remain connected to the business? It's really important in today's economy that we provide value. I'm gonna ask first, Vicky. You have both a business analyst perspective and a project management perspective on this. What do you think PMs bring, and how can they ensure that the project is connected to the business?
Well, there's a couple different aspects I think are very important. It begins with stakeholder management and making sure that we identify those business stakeholders that have the information we need and are willing to provide it throughout the project. Also includes an element of stakeholder education to let the business know that we will need their participation when it comes to eliciting requirements, verify how the project's doing, that they're going to get more value from the project the more they participate in it. So there's that element of stakeholder education. And then finally, utilizing the role of the business analyst. The project manager doesn't have to do it all on many of our projects. That's just too much stakeholder management and too much document management and everything else to deal with. Business analysts have many of the same skills that project managers do as far as interviews, soft skills, talking to stakeholders and that type of thing, but we also have a really large tool set of items that we can use to help elicit and communicate the requirements we're hearing from the business. So leveraging that skill set on the projects is going to go a huge way to helping bring that together as well. So just to sum it up, I think part of it is the stakeholder management and education, and then also using business analysis on our teams to help tie that in and bring it to the forefront of the project.
So a couple of key points I heard there was, one is not for the project manager to try to do it all, and to do the have the business analyst. Now, BAs have specific knowledge. My background is PM. I know about the project management business of, or body of knowledge. Is there anything comparable in the BA world?
Yes, there is. There is a business analysis body of knowledge that the International Institute of Business Analysis has put out. The IIBA is relatively new. It was founded in 2003, but much of the work they're doing parallels what PMI has done just for the business analyst. So they do have a body of knowledge. They do have a couple different certifications, and the resources that the direction they're heading is very much comparable to PMI, just with the business analyst as a profession in mind.
Hmm. Oh, Okay, that's something I'll have to take a look into. Thank you. Deanne?
Yes.
Your perspective is change management, and an awful lot of projects in today's economy relate to change management. We're changing processes. We're merging companies. There are new fields that are evolving. Companies are finding that the business they were in isn't the business they need to be in. How do you think that the PMs can help the project stay connected to the business during change management?
Yeah, there's a very important factor there point that you just made yourself, Martin, is about organizations are changing and they need to shift from how they are today and what they're doing today to what tomorrow's business as usual will look like. And it's very important for project managers to recognize and realize that projects are not theirs. They're not the project manager's project. They belong to the organization. And the reason that the project manager is there is to deliver the outcomes for the business. So it's very important to remember that that's there. That is the whole purpose of why they're there. They, while the project itself might be an individual, set up for an individual purpose and maybe a one-off activity for a specific contribution, it is not, that individuality and one-offness is not an isolated or insulated case. So it's always there to deliver what the business needs. And I think sometimes that gets a little bit forgotten. Your stakeholders are very important, as Vicky was saying, because of their needs. However, it's what the stakeholder needs in order to deliver what the organization is looking for tomorrow's way of working. So all projects are about change, and it's very important for project managers to remember that nothing will stay the same, and they must be able to shift and morph as well while they're managing the effects that change will bring. They're not initiated, projects are not initiated for today's way of doing business to stay the same, otherwise the organisation will never transition and transform into what it needs to look like for tomorrow.
Do you find in projects that you've worked with, do you find that the business actually knows what it needs to do in terms of change management, or does the PM and the BA bring some of that domain knowledge and specific change management knowledge to the project?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a little bit of a psychological hang-up around change management. Change management is very important because people, organizations are people, right? Without people, organizations don't exist. And people get used to, and we all do, ourselves as project managers and leaders, we get used to the way that we work and the things that we have to do, the way we go about doing them, and the requirements that our organizations have of us to deliver those things. So we get used to our way of working, and changing that ourselves is always a challenge. However, I think that the concept of change management perhaps can get a little bit, sometimes it's a little blown out of proportion. So it's more about how we manage people from one thing to another, rather than how we help them transition themselves from one place to another place. So when you start using different words and different language, and you stop or perhaps talk less about change management and more about transitioning forward and transitioning for the good of the business, it shifts things in people's minds and it allows them to understand what that movement is about and what it can help create and generate for the organization for whom they work. So it really, change management and understanding, these are the things that we need to do in the sequence we need to do them and how we need to make sure we keep moving forwards towards that ultimate goal is very important. But that is managing the process. You want to be able to bring people along that path as well, and that's where transition is the, I think, one of the most important things about around for effective and efficient change to happen.
It sounds like the term transition may also create less anxiety than change management.
I think you're right, Martin. I think that's a very good point, because as I was saying, it can reposition in people's minds what is happening and why it is happening, which really is the ultimate, isn't it? The organisation has to move from where they are now to where they need to be for business reasons, for them to be able to stay in business. So you have to transition the organisation as well as the people within it. So I think using different words is very important there. And the PMs can help that and help keep their projects connected to the business by using different types of language as well, understanding the motivations of their stakeholders, where they fit within the organisation's agenda, what their own agendas are, and understand those, but also not necessarily understand them so they can change their project to fit those agendas, but to be able to relate those agendas to what their project is there to deliver.
Okay. Naomi, you bring to the panel today a perspective on leadership, and the discussion that I've just had with Deanne. It sounds to me like we're going to need some leadership to be able to effect the change management as opposed to simple management. So how do you think that leaders, project leaders, the leaders of a project can help ensure that the project remains connected to the business and to the people?
Well, thanks, Martin, for asking that question. You know, Vicky and Deanne certainly laid out the foundation and the reasons why a business lead is so critical to a project. As a project manager, when you are assigned to a project, you really need to let your sponsor know that you require a business lead to be a key resource on your project. You know, business analysts are so essential in this role, and unfortunately, it's been my experience that project managers get stuck in this role. So organizations really need to understand the importance of this role, because really, you know, as Deanne, Vicky said, a business lead should champion the business requirements. They should be very involved in testing and end user acceptance. They need to be a very close partner with the project manager, and they really need to rally the business team. When you have a project manager that gets wrapped up in that role and has to, you know, trade hats off between the two, the project manager is not staying focused on really what their role and their job is to do. So to that end, I would say mature PMs will work to defer this to the business and business analysts in the organization if they could bring those resources onto the project, or unfortunately, they're going to have to rise to the occasion. What will happen in organizations who don't have mature project or program managers is they're going to be challenged in this area. And unfortunately, this could lead to signs and symptoms of project failure. So I think that what you need to do as a project manager is you need to make it a focus to go take a business analysis class, add that to your personal development plan. I think the other thing, like Vicky mentioned, you need to get very involved in your local IIBA chapter. attend those meetings, invite some of your resources to attend those meetings, because I think as a project manager and a leader, you need to grow resources in your organization to be business analysts that you can utilize and rely on to be key members of your project.
So we've seen three perspectives on project management, how project managers can connect the project to the business, and the correct business analysis, change management, and leadership. Do you have something that you wanted to bring into this?
Yes, so both Deanne and Naomi touched on that, you know, projects today are about making the business better. You know, before the dot-com bust or before the latest recession, there might have been a lot of technology projects for the sake of technology, but now our focus is more business. Now, one thing we have to remember when it comes to IT projects, that your project managers are thinking IT solutions on the forefront, but it's not always an IT solution that's going to meet the business need. So getting that other perspective and having those conversations is going to make sure that the time we do spend developing those solutions really does address the core business need and isn't some other type of Band-Aid or fix.
Well, thank you very much. Having discussed how the project remains connected to the business, I'd like each of you to take a moment or two and tell me what are your favorite or the best practice project management processes, tools, and techniques that you've found that help you to connect to the stakeholders and to deliver value to the project. We'll go in reverse order. I'll start with you, Naomi.
Okay. Well, I think one very good best practice that I've used and I've seen used in other organizations like Hewlett-Packard is something called retrospectives, or what we probably affectionately know as lessons learned. And these should be done throughout the project and allow you to engage your team and stakeholders to share feedback. And it's kind of like using a Deming approach. You are going to plan, you're going to do, you're going to check, you're going to act. So it should become an integral part of your project so that organizations who can focus on their more mature project management methodology is going to help them build in their quality. They can implement more rigor and change management that will be necessary, so that as you take these lessons learned, you can apply them to affect process and defect improvement, as well as you're going to be able to gather metrics throughout the project.
I absolutely agree with you, Naomi. It's been my observation that all too often lessons learned is a document created at the end of the project and then shelved indefinitely, which if companies were to use them better, they can certainly gain significant value. I think there's also something to be said for lessons learned from other companies, and that's part of why we're doing professional development today. Deanne, can you offer some project management processes and some lessons learned from your extensive experience?
Yeah, I think one of the big ones actually is that poor practices or practices that perhaps don't work are repeated. So more often than not, lessons learned or retrospectives seem to bring up the same things over and over again. So I think a big lesson from that is, as you say, Martin, don't just do the report and file it away. Actually do something with it. Take those things that didn't work or perhaps could be improved or weren't so great or whichever way you want to package it, and actually action something, do something about it. Don't just say, oh, well, that wasn't so great, but then do it again. That's not the purpose of a retrospective. You really do have to make some changes. And I think also another important technique that PMs and project teams in general can make huge use of our soft skills, need to really build relationships. Relationships are very important. And make sure that you're listening to things and watching things that are subtle, are not necessarily said, body language, things like that. So active listening as well as developing and honing your soft skills are very important techniques that project managers can use and their project teams can use to support their sound processes and tools. And don't be afraid to speak up for your project. Don't be afraid. You're there to lead this and to deliver an outcome. So, you know, it's part of your role to challenge others and to be comfortable to be challenged yourself. So those are also ways that you can actually, enact change yourself and make difference. Those things that you learnt through your retrospective that perhaps didn't work very well, to perhaps improve them and make them better next time.
I agree. Vicky, you have straddled both the project management and the BA. You must have an awful lot of processes and tools at your disposal.
Yeah, probably a few too many to go into here, but on both of them, and it's in both bodies of knowledge that stakeholder analysis is such a critical piece. And not just doing that analysis up front, but making sure you revisit it, because sometimes people's interests have changed or new stakeholders come up. So just as you review your risk register, going back to that stakeholder analysis on a regular basis can help you identify something early on. And then I also like Deanne's point about, being sure to, let people know if you need help. If there's a risk because somebody is not attending a meeting or you have the wrong representation, that might be a risk that you need to record and address. If it doesn't get addressed in that way, it may be something you have to bring to a higher level to escalate. The thing we have to keep in mind for all of this is what's in the best interest of the project, with the project success being reliant on bringing value to the business.
Your suggestion is that the stakeholder analysis, which also ties into the soft skills that Deanne was mentioning, and I think probably frequently comes up in the retrospectives that Naomi was discussing with us. All right, thank you very much, panel, for your discussion of the business side of project management. I want to ask you some questions specifically about women in project management, some of the challenges that women face, and also some of the opportunities that are there for them. Naomi, I want to ask you first about leadership. Within the title, it says project management, but we're seeing so much nowadays about how they need to provide leadership to their teams. How do women PMs do this with confidence? And also, if you could touch briefly on imposter syndrome, where women sometimes feel that they've been put into a position more through luck than through recognition of their skills. How do women PMs provide that the leadership without falling into that trap?
Well, this is a really key area that I think as a woman in project management, you really need to focus on your personal growth in this area. I think women really need to lead with authenticity and integrity. Women have great soft skills. So We're good at building relationships. You need to focus in your organizations and on your projects on building relationships that create partnerships. You need to communicate with confidence and clarity. You need to do this up, down, and across the organization. You need to be able to change your communication, you know, styles to meet your audience. And with your project team, you really need to be willing to roll up your sleeves during crunch time. You've been working on this project for a while. Your team has been working hard, and you're really going to really show your leadership by rolling up your sleeves and getting in there with them and letting them know that you're behind them, that you're there listening to remove any barriers, resolve any problems, and just make sure that they can keep the project continuing to move forward. So really, as a leader, you need to show up and be present for your team every day. You need to have an open door policy, and when your team comes to you with problems and issues, sure, you're busy and it's easy to tell them, you know, come back, make an appointment, how about tomorrow? But I think just a little empathy and active listening goes a long way. People show up at your door or make the time to talk to you. Just actively listen, and listen for the messages, watch the body language. You'll gain a lot from those interactions with your team. And I think that you should always be self-aware. This is a key tenet of emotional intelligence that women are great at, and I think it's going to help leverage your influence on projects and in your organization, and it's going to allow you, along with your key strengths, to really shine.
Is there a perception amongst project teams that a woman leader would bring a specific style or a specific strengths that she may have that wouldn't necessarily be there with their male counterpart?
Well, you know, I think certainly, I've kind of talked all about the soft skills, the listening skills, building relationships, showing empathy. You might not find this with your male counterparts as much. I hesitate to say this, but I think sometimes it's looked on as a sign of weakness that you are kind of showing a more of an emotional side to yourself. But people are people, and people are your most important asset in your organization. And that's another reason why women are really a key in your organization and on your projects to be leaders, and should be looked on and also thought of in that way, because it's really, really, it's what men and women bring to the table. And it's applying leadership. And I think whether you're a man or a woman, you need to step up to do that and focus on not only your soft skills, but your hard skills. And that will take you a long way to be successful as a project manager.
I think the PMP certification says that we have the hard skills, the technical skills. I think a differentiator in many cases is the soft skills, unfortunately named in my opinion, but definitely a differentiator. Deanne, you've co-authored a chapter or written a chapter on EQ, and for an upcoming book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I have, It's a very interesting topic, actually, because really it's all about human dynamics, isn't it? So, again, there are lots of different words that I guess you can apply about being interested in exactly that, human dynamics, whether it's psychology or more emotional intelligence or, just normal everyday behaviors. And it's quite fascinating to watch people at work and also socially, and how sometimes that contrast can be quite substantial, how people behave in different situations. Emotional intelligence, having any little interest in how people tick, is really important in leadership, because as well as wanting to achieve what the organisation needs, you're also wanting to, I guess, as a leader, and whether it's a project or anything else, help people achieve what they want to achieve. So that's really important, to understand how people tick, where their hot buttons are, for a better phrase, turns them on, if you like, and certainly in a business scenario, how can you as a leader and a project manager get the best out of them for what it is you're delivering to the business, but also for themselves, because people also need to develop and grow in their own right. And the soft skills are really important there, as are, that includes, of course, being able to build relationships, how you communicate with people. One size doesn't fit all. The message, underlying message, may be the same, but how you deliver that and how people receive that message is different, depending on the situation and the person. Good leaders as well understand that they don't have all the answers. They appreciate they don't have all the answers, so are quite willing to have people around them and build a strong team of people who, in some areas, know more than they do and are better at what needs to be done than the leader themselves. And that means then that you're all moving in the same direction and all got a contribution to make, which is very important. I think, though, it's key as part of that, and I think Naomi was touching on this, that sometimes women in leadership roles are viewed as perhaps weaker than their male counterparts. And I think, though, that one of their strengths, or women's strengths, is about seeing how people behave differently, and a capability to be firm yet fair. So strong leaders are able to say that we're here to do a job, and this is what it is that we need to achieve, and these are our boundaries. However, I'm open to how it is that you think is the best way to achieve that. So that firm yet fair approach, I think, is important, and developing the skills, the soft skills around that. So along with that then comes respect. People respect you, and you're able to achieve quite significant amounts through those kinds of relationships that you can build and develop.
Which if you want to have a project management career in a business, I think we need to be able to focus beyond the project and into portfolios and programs. And I believe that with the focus on the soft skills and relationships that Deanne talked about and Naomi, that a key part of that is going to be building the teams for the long term. I just want to reference back to our first question, because what we're saying there is that the programs also need to connect to the business, and it's been my experience that some male managers, some overly aggressive managers, can get a single project done, but lose team members or lose business capabilities, because people stay for the project and then they leave shortly afterwards. Vicky, I know that in your role as a business analyst, one aspect of that revolves around conflict and conflict resolution, does it not, in terms of the requirements that people say they want or have to have, and what the project manager is prepared to commit to. And Also, what and I'll throw this out for the whole panel. What level of assertiveness can is there a difference in the level of assertiveness that the different genders bring to the table, to meetings?
Well, and that's a good question. I know in my own experience, I know discrimination in general is on the decline and becoming more rare, but it is still out there. And there have been instances where I've, I guess, almost bullied by managers who don't understand my expertise. And so, you know, we have to be assertive. We have to be able to prove our expertise, but do it in a way that saves space and doesn't get argumentative or such. And one way that can help you do that is to, find a nugget that's going to help that person see your expertise with something that's going to help them. So one example might be in a business analyst role, there is team members that felt, we've done requirements before. We don't know why we need you here. But when I was able to present a new tool for prioritizing that they really bought into, then they started listening to me more and more. So being able to demonstrate that expertise and being able to stand up and say, hey, I have it, give me a chance, without it turning into a debate or, some type of conflict is key there. And I think, having that confidence and believing in ourselves, one thing we can't do is to take it and take a risk of responding to it passive-aggressively later because we just kind of blew it off and don't want to deal with it. So we do have to be assertive and deal with those issues as they come up.
And the way in which a woman can or addresses a conflict, the confidence that's required, as Naomi was describing, the soft skills that Deanne brings to the table. I'd also suggest that there's a lot of material available that relates to introverts. There's another niche out there, which is the introverted project manager. That also must work with relationships and soft skills to achieve their ends. Deanne, can you add to what Vicky had to say about the either conflict resolution or what she was describing in terms of assertiveness and bullying?
Yeah, it was something quite quick actually that triggered in my mind from what Vicky was saying, and difference between assertive and aggressive. Sometimes there's a big ego thing there, isn't there? And certainly as a female in a fairly male dominated area of business, I tend to see that quite a bit where. That differentiation isn't perhaps quite understood. So you may be, as a female, being assertive. However, sometimes it comes across as being aggressive. And I think one way of being able to be more confident in your assertiveness is to perhaps say fact-focused. So if you're focused on the facts and you're not perhaps bringing emotion into it, and you're not perhaps battering up against those egos. And again, also in conflict resolution, this can be very powerful where you're perhaps diffusing the situation a little bit by not engaging, not enrolling in the conflict itself and staying focused on the facts and what you're all there to achieve ultimately and how perhaps that... to come to some sort of agreement of how best to do that, given the situation that you're either attempting to resolve or diffuse. So I think being fact-focused is very important and not get caught up emotionally in what is going on, because everyone can get that feeling of, oh, I've done something wrong, or perhaps I'm not being heard, I'm not being listened to, they're not interested in what I'm doing or what I'm here to try and achieve. So taking that emotion out of it and sticking with the facts can be very powerful.
We've talked a little bit about some of the challenges. I think we've talked about some of the strengths. In terms of you yourself as a PM receiving the feedback each year, what would you say is the number one thing that you would want to continue doing that you're currently doing, a behavior or a style that you bring to your projects? Naomi?
So, you know, as a woman, I still think that it is our soft skills that make us shine. It's our gifted area that women have. And there is a new book out by John Maxwell called 15 Laws of Growth, and I'll just kind of paraphrase, but I think women need to lead in their strength zone and step out of their comfort zone to grow as a leader. And that has been my key to success. If you recognize what you're good at, you need to stay focused on that. But you also need to challenge yourself and kind of step outside of what you're comfortable doing and try new things. Take on new stretch projects, and that's going to help you lead different kinds of projects, work with different kinds of teams and sponsors and executives in your organization. Like, you know, Deanne, she's a global consultant, so she's traveling, you know, to different countries, working with different stakeholders. You know, Vicky as a business analyst, you see projects and the organization from a different perspective, but you will never do that if you do not allow yourself to step out of your comfort zone. And as women, you need to focus on the fact that you build strong interpersonal relationships. That's a gift that you have, so you need to use it. And the other thing too, women are great coaches. You coach and mentor your teams, you coach and mentor your sponsor and your stakeholders, but you yourself are a very coachable resource. You need to take advantage of the fact that you need to get all the insight you can when you meet with your sponsor. You need to listen to your team when they are giving you feedback. And you should also seek out feedback from your functional manager too, who can help guide you through the politics and the other organizational challenges that you're going to run into when you start leading projects that are local, regional, statewide, you know, global. And I think the other thing that women need to realize is that I think self-awareness, you know, being a key tenet of emotional intelligence, is where we live daily. So I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we are able to be in touch with our emotions, because it enables us to relate better with others. And that's going to help us create high-performing teams. And I think we also, as women, focus on results. I think women are very results-oriented, and we're looking for win-wins. I think it's a very positive thing for our organization. You don't kind of want to get stuck in a quagmire focusing on the detail when you should be focusing on getting a quick win and keeping the project moving forward. And I think that we have the ability to show a lot of empathy. So when you're dealing with teams, you're dealing with people. And you're dealing with people in the organization, and projects are all about people. So the fact that you are able to relate with them is going to, I think, really help you grow as a leader. And I think that's it's a positive, and it's a win. It's a win-win.
Yes, very much so. Vicky, you mentioned the conflict sometimes between the BA and the team, or the BA and the PM. Is it your experience that men are more competitive, that there's more frequently a win-lose, a winner and a loser in a conflict, as opposed to women, or is that just a stereotype?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there is a lot of difference there. Women can be very competitive, especially with each other. Hopefully, we're not going there, being nurturing and empathetic. And, one of the things that I like to do as a leader, whatever my role is to rely on the expertise of those people around me, to know that, we have an architect because that's their specialty, and to rely on them to help think through the solutions and come to the right answer. As far as the business analyst and project manager, there is inherent conflict in the roles, because the project manager is more focused on schedule and cost, as they should be, where the business analyst is trying to bring the most value to the business that they can. But I find that to be a healthy conflict. Projects I work on where you have two strong people that are willing to debate are probably going to come up with better decisions, because they're talking through all the points of both sides, and they're getting clarification from the sponsor with great information. So the conflict between a BA and PM is healthy and good for a project. But I'm not sure there's any more conflict, where it's male female versus female male.
I just want to move us on to the next slide. We have questions on that slide that relate to this discussion as well. How to be successful in a male-dominated field, and I think we've been discussing this. Some of the natural strengths that women bring to project management, some of the ways in which women can influence or hinder their own success in this particular field. Deanne, you were involved in IT project management, were you not?
Yes.
And that is a fairly male-dominated field. How were you able to leverage your strengths and build trust and let the guys know that you had the technical skills to lead the project?
Yeah, the very interesting question, especially the last bit about the technical skills to lead the project, because actually, while I'm the majority of my work is related to IT projects, I'm actually not a technical person. So I don't come from a technical background. I come from a business background and just happen to have spent most of my career involved in IT projects, so delivering IT solutions to the business. So really, I guess I'm from the flip side, which is it gives me perhaps a natural advantage or different kinds of strengths that I can bring to IT projects. So coming at them with a business view, this is what we need to achieve for the good of the business. How we do it technically, I'm not necessarily about to challenge. What I will challenge, though, is how that technology will deliver what the business needs and not lock the business into a place where it can't escape from. So, in terms of my teams and confidence that teams have in me, again, I think it's very much back to those relationships. And a very important part of that has helped me personally through my career has been being personable, being one of the team, not separating myself out from the team and saying, well, I'm the PM or I'm the consultant or I'm the leader, therefore I'm separate from you. I'm not. I'm part of the team with everybody else. And also personally, I like to have fun. So while I'm doing a serious job and it has serious implications, I like to have fun while I'm doing it. So I have conversations with people that are not business related. One of my pet likes is eating pies. So I go and eat pies for lunch with the guys. And, you know, we have a lot of fun and we talk about stuff that has nothing to do with the project. But that builds rapport and it builds relationships. And when there is an issue or you need to challenge something or have a healthy discussion and you know, constructive conflict about something that needs to be resolved, you can do that in an open, honest, and respectful manner. And I think that that really helps you, and I think regardless of whether you're male or feminine or female, but certainly women and relating in a male-dominated sector, is it breaks down that barrier, and you're just one of the team.
Even though you're not specifically coding PHP or configuring the servers.
Absolutely. But I do want to know, as the PM or as the leader of that piece of work, I do want to know where it's up to, what time it's going, well, you know, when it's due, the status of it, where the issues and challenges are, because I'm there to support and help resolve those, not tell them the best way to do it. So I leave them to get on with their job, but they also know what my expectations are. So we have a healthy level of respect for skills and expertise and for deliverables. So that firm yet fair approach that I spoke about earlier as well, I'm very, very firm and clear about my expectations, and the team knows that, and that sets a very healthy scene from the get-go.
I had a project manager who definitely could not actually sit on the keyboard and do any of the technical work, but when there was an emergency and people had to go into the office on Sunday to deal with something, she was prepared, not necessarily every time, but she was prepared to go in and be with the team.
Absolutely. Lead how you expect to be led, and, you know, just because you're the leader or the project manager doesn't mean that you... you know, don't have to participate in the less than desirable office hours, or you know, leaves you immune to certain things. You're there to support the team and to help them achieve what it is that they need to, in any way that you know, in whatever way makes sense.
And I think that some of the soft skills that project managers can bring to the table is that reading of people, to know that even though they don't say it, they appreciate the fact that you did come in, or they appreciate the subtleties of conversation, the body language, and the way in which people, sometimes the specific words that they're saying or not saying.
Exactly. You may be there not actually doing anything, but the fact that you are present speaks volumes. Very powerful.
All right. Well, I think we've had an awesome discussion about the strengths, the challenges that women face, and the opportunities that the natural strengths that they bring. We're going to wrap up the discussion a little bit with a quick set of questions for each of you, and that will be on women in your greatest influence I want you to give advice to a young woman considering project management, and top three tips for project managers. So a question I've been dying to ask the women on the panel here, is there actually a gender gap? Do you find that to be true, or is it are you just seen as Deanne said, as one of the guys? Naomi, what do you think? Is there a gender gap?
Well, Martin, I think the answer to that question is absolutely. It still exists today, and there's probably no newspaper, no Twitter feed, no commentary through Forbes or Wall Street Journal that you won't find today talking about it. So, women are getting paid less, but most recently the Lilly Ledbetter Act was signed by President Obama, and that kind of, brought some, awareness that this needs to be addressed. In a article that was put out through Planet Money, there was a radio show through the National Public Radio that talked about what American women do for work. And it basically said, they have a little chart that I found that said 40 years ago, only one in three American workers was a woman. And today it's one in two. Now, I wouldn't say that that's, huge strides there, but with the downturn in the economy, we're finding that a lot of men have lost their jobs, and women are the breadwinners. But unfortunately, because we make less, we're not bringing money into the household, and we're not being able to spend money, so we're putting it back in the economy. And that's, that's a problem. And, for those, kind of women who are at the C-level suite, CIOs, CEOs, boardroom presidents, are finding that you're not finding many women in those roles either. So, as they kind of talk about, we're really not really breaking the glass ceiling, but it's still a problem that exists. And I think that women, just collectively, I think we just need to kind of keep focused on stepping up to challenges. I think we need to find coaches as we go through our careers, and you wish to progress to the upper level and move on to an executive position. I think we need to kind of put away the idea that we need to be fearful of failure. I think if we're going to fail, we need to fail fast and fail forward. It's kind of the mantra for today. If you're an entrepreneur out there and you're trying to do start up a new company or start a new initiative and, trying to get seed money for a project, that's important. And I think the biggest thing of all is, as women, as a group out there, we need to support each other. I think that's huge. And I think for young women today, they're looking for role models. If you're out there and you are leading, step up and be a role model. And the most important thing leaders should be doing is growing other leaders. So that's kind of my take on that topic.
In many of the PMI chapters have a formal mentoring program. Are you all involved with your PMI chapter, or in Vicky's case, also the IIBA chapter? And do you have formal mentoring programs?
I have as well seen formal mentoring in different organizations, and not so much within the PMI or IIBA has it been specific towards women, but when I worked for the state of Washington, there were different programs in the different agencies I worked in along those lines. So I think they exist. It's finding them.
So for me personally, I've not been involved in any formal mentoring programs. I think that there are pros and cons for those, like there are for anything. I think if you are looking for a mentor, a formal program may give you a means to access different mentors, but I think you still have to find one that you can relate to and that works for you and the way that you learn and the types of things that you perhaps want to be mentored about. So, yeah, I think that, as I said, there are pros and cons for formal ones, and personally I've not been involved in any formal program such as that.
Okay. I know that recently Marissa Meyer was named CEO of Yahoo, and there was an awful lot of attention paid to that announcement, and particularly the fact that she was a woman and a pregnant woman as well. What did you think of that attention?
Disproportionate, perhaps. Perhaps focusing on her, the fact that on her gender rather than her ability and capability and competency to do the role. I'm sure if it was a man receiving or being put, you know, taking that role, it would have been an announcement about the person, where they had come from, what they had achieved to date, and what their goals and objectives were, and less about their family or if their wife was pregnant or if they had a dog or, you know, when they did their supermarket shopping. So, yeah, I think there are some things in that the media focused attention on where that attention is disproportionate and has no bearing whatsoever on the person's capability or competency to actually perform the role that they've been asked to do. I guess you could say I have a strong opinion.
Yeah. I guess my take on it, because I've kind of heard some conversations from some young women and who are project managers, and, you know, I think there's both kind of maybe some negative and positive connotations. And I think you know, one of the conversations that was going around about Marissa Mayer's you know, promotion and the fact that she was pregnant and about to have a baby, it really kind of shed light on the fact that, you know, can women have it all? Can they have a job and, you know, family, and can they create that work-life balance? Because it is a balancing act as, you know, as a mom. I went back to work, and after I was pregnant and had my daughter, and it has been a difficult. It's kind of a juggling act. But I think women today who are looking for, you know, to either graduate from college, get a job in an organization, they're kind of looking for role models, and they're kind of looking for the fact that, well, gee, you know, can I, you know, go to school, get a job, have a family, you know, is that possible? And to see a role model out there who's doing that and that they're talking about it, I think kind of, you know, gives them some perspective, gives them an idea that women can work and have a family and be able to accomplish that. And I think it kind of gives them some perspective.
Is there a different career path for women than for men? I mean, we've talked about a gender gap. And if there is a difference in the career path, is project management well suited to that type of interrupted career where you know, you work for a few years, you're a mom for a few years, you go back into the workplace?
Speaking of the gender gap, there are pockets where it still exists, and, you know, speaking of vocation for women, I think if you get into the education, you know, healthcare, social services, you see a lot more women leaders taking on that old, you know, secretary, nurse, teacher type role. In IT, looking at the Yahoo example, that's where it becomes an anomaly and becomes noteworthy in the news. Within the state of Washington, it's interesting here in that we've had, we currently have a female governor. She's on her way out, but 8 years in office with a primarily, I think a stronger, a larger proportion of female cabinet members. And then we have two U.S. congresswomen here. Within the state of Washington, there's great examples every time you turn around. So one thing I experienced last week, I was at the PMI Global Congress in Vancouver, BC, and they had a panel much like ours talking about women in project management. And I was listening to some of the chatter afterwards, and many women were saying, oh, there's no discrimination. I don't know why we're even still talking about this. It's like, well, you haven't experienced it yet. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because there are those pockets still out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been a project manager in IT for 27 years, and, pretty much I was either the only female or there were a few of us, and we were either, in the beginning kind of in administrative roles, but then, as I progressed in IT, leading projects, again, I kind of, you go from administrative role to kind of a technical role that I led, and then a leadership role. And I'm kind of back in the position where I'm only one of few women in this role and working with mostly men. And so I think that you kind of have to get some thick skin. And you also kind of have to have some perspective about what, how you're going to have that work-life balance, how you're going to make it work for you, and is your organization supportive? Do you have a good culture where it's, supporting the mission and the vision and the values, and do they match your values? And I kind of really think that it's really all about that. If you really love what you do, it doesn't matter what your profession is, it's just that does it match with the organization that you're working for? And I think that's kind of a question everybody needs to ask of themselves too, because I think at some point you need to take a look at that and consider, are you going to transition and go into a different career path in a different industry? Because certainly I think as a project manager, your skills are very transferable to any industry, whether it be IT, healthcare, construction, telecom. Being a project manager, you really have, there's some benefits there.
I think there's a lot to do with attitude. Sometimes if you think that there's a gender gap, then perhaps there will be, self-fulfilling prophecy. But, I mean, that's not to say that it doesn't exist at all, because it does. And I think that there are in a lot of places, certainly in Europe as well as other parts of the world, a lot of it is influenced culturally, and that may be slightly less of an influencer in the US than it is in other parts of the world. But there are lots of countries where, the traditional male role, and that's still very prevalent in today's world. So there is a underlying tension, if you like, of, well, this is a male-dominated society, so that's just the way it is. So women have a lot of work to do to close that themselves, and again, through proving themselves and building those relationships and their attitude and how they approach it. And if they don't see that there's a gender gap, then they won't behave in that way. And slowly over time, it changes, but it does take a very long time.
Okay. We are seeing the top of the hour approaching. I'd like to move us on to the quickie round, if you like. First question. Who was the greatest influence in choosing project management as your career? Did you choose project management as your career? Deanne?
I didn't choose project management as my career, to be honest with you. I'm actually still figuring out what it is I want to do when I grow up. So, it's interesting. I guess you would class me as an accidental project manager. The the types of skills and capabilities and competencies I have, and the experiences and expertise that I've developed over my years of working have sort of led me along that path. Having originally started as a member of a ERP system implementation, I was a member of the team. So a natural progression through that kind of work sort of led me up to leading those kinds of projects and then on to different projects from there. So I guess it was more of a natural progression rather than a specific, I want to be a project manager when I grow up. So in terms of greatest influence, I wouldn't say would be around choosing that path. It would be more about my professional and development of my experience and knowledge. So there have been some key people that I've worked with over the years that have had significant influence on how I've developed as both a person and a professional in this sector.
Right. How about you, Naomi?
Well, I guess I'm kind of also along the same lines as Deanne, but I think I'm kind of working on what my focus is and kind of moving towards, you know, my future career development. But I really started out as a technical lead, a systems engineer, and an architect in information technology for the public sector. And I found that I was tapped often to lead many projects that had an IT component for the business. And then I started working at a very large data center here in California. And I really got some insight into working with customers, understanding what their business needs were, what their business drivers were, what some of the programs were that were impacted by these systems that we were trying to help install for them. And kind of that really kind of brought it home for me. So I got involved at the local chapter level, and I think then is where I think I found kind of my niche, and I decided, well, you know, I'm doing this, I love what I'm doing, and I think it would be worth it to invest in myself to get a credential. And what the president of the PMI Sacramento Valley chapter, Payson Hall, was kind of pretty influential at that time. And I would say that he had a key influence in me choosing project management as a career. And the other thing, I joined their board of directors at the time. I was elected to be their vice president of communications. And I was also doing that and continuing to work for the state at the data center. And a project manager and of the data center, Karen Walkup, she was a great coach and a great mentor, and she kind of helped me, you know, grow as a project manager, and she was very instrumental. So I really had kind of two key people who had worked in the public and private sector. They were practitioners. They had a passion for project management. They were great role models for me. And that really kind of helped me realize how I, as a leader in the public sector, could grow my skills to be a better project manager. And so I think now I'm kind of focused on really my goal today is really paying it forward and sharing with my community of project managers to advance the profession and help grow it one project manager at a time.
And I think you've done an awesome job here with the women's theme, the women in project management, for the International Project Management Day. For of which this panel discussion is a seminar, a presentation for that. Vicki, you've chosen both project management and business analysis. How'd you fall into that?
Well, I got into IT back in 1999. I had been a power user of the state budget systems working as a budget analyst, and I knew I wanted to get into IT. So when there was a position open for a product manager that was kind of half business analyst, half trainer help desk, it was something I was really interested in doing, was helping grow the systems that the state used for budgets. And as I got in there, I started learning more about projects and how they were run, and I knew I wanted to go in that project management direction. So I did take a certification class, but where I really turned the point was met a friend in the class, Chandra Moss, who, as it concluded, said, "Hey, there's this PMP certification. I think we should go take the test." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever. I could use some alphabet soup behind my name." But the reason I say that was a turning point is because it was actually, going through the PMBOK and using Rita Mulcahy's book for studying, that I'm like, wow, there's some really good information to help make projects run more smoothly. So really, when you look at the influence, it's all of those people that have contributed to the PMBOK and to the knowledge made me go, oh, I get it, and I can see how we can bring more value to the state by doing projects more efficiently using some of these best resources. So that's how I got into project management, and it wasn't until I left the state to start a solo career that I thought, well, if I'm going to be out there and try to market myself, I have done the business analysis work, I should go look at that certification. And then the same thing happened when I started looking at the business analysis body of knowledge, and I took an ESI course to help prepare for that exam. I'm like, wow, there's great stuff out here. It didn't exist when I first became a BA, since the IIBA is so new, but it was like, this is just great information, and I don't have to make it up all on my own. I can rely on the expertise that went ahead of me. So, and people ask me today, which do you like better, BA or PM? And they have different attractions for me. I love being a BA. I love, helping people think of new ways to solve problems, thinking out of the box. I mentioned earlier that, sometimes the solution isn't an IT solution, and I love when, you can help somebody come up with the aha of, wow, we can do this without it being a huge investment. Or if we're making an investment, at least we know we've explored what those other options look like. And then I enjoy the PM because I like seeing something come together and seeing something, implemented, and knowing that I helped, provide the leadership and the actual act of leading the team to work together to produce the results there. They're both, strong for me. If somebody were to force me to choose one or the other, I don't know that I could at this point. I will say, however, when I wear both hats, that seems to be problematic. I talked earlier too about the PMBA conflict, and when I'm in conflict with myself, that I just always win the argument, and that never works well for the project. So I do like to be in one role or the other versus trying to manage both.
Yeah.
Yeah, top three tips. Difficult to just restrict to three, really, I guess, isn't it? But I think my first one would be about know your strengths, but equally recognize your weaknesses. It's very important to do that, and to so by knowing and recognizing those is to keep learning. Don't think that just because you've studied the books and you've had some experience, that's the end of your learning exercise. Keep going. My second one would be always show a willingness to adapt. Not every situation is exactly the same, even if the wherever you are in the world and organisations, processes and issues and challenges are pretty much the same, the situation will be different, so you do need a willingness to adapt. And my third one, which may be a surprise to everybody, is to have fun and eat some pies, but have fun and enjoy yourself and laugh. don't forget to laugh. So they're not particularly project management specific based. I think they're more human based than professional based. But with those, you will garner respect and understanding of situations, and enjoy your career, whichever path you choose to take.
Naomi.
Those are great tips.
What kind of pie are you after?
I especially like the one about the pies. But it's true. I really truly believe that you really need to enjoy and love what you're doing, and fun should be a big part of it. But I think my tips that kind of have come home to me is that you need to lead under your own leadership style. You may have a functional manager, or you may be working for a chief information officer in IT, and they have their own leadership style. But I think you need to try to develop your own, because you shouldn't try to lead under someone else's vision and values. And I think number two would be, you need to focus on growing yourself. No one else should be responsible for your own personal development but you. And don't wait on your organization to set up a training plan for you. Don't wait for a class to be offered. You should be actively looking for opportunities. You should be focusing on reflecting on where you need to fill gaps in your skill sets, and you should develop a personal development plan to set out some key goals and objectives on how you're going to get there. And number three, I don't think I can say this enough, you need to network everywhere and anywhere you can. Social media is a great place. You should be on Twitter. You should be on LinkedIn. If you have a local chapter that you can attend meetings, definitely go there. Meet board members, meet people from the community. And if you ever have the opportunity to attend Project Management Institute leadership meeting, if you're involved in the chapter, or a global congress, find a way to go. It will be the most, I think, kind of enlightening and experience, because you'll meet people from all over the world. You're going to gain different perspectives, and you're going to come back with a whole new, fresh perspective for yourself.
Those are some awesome tips, and I hope that we take them all to heart. I'm going to leave the last word for you then, Vicki, on the three tips anyways.
Well, and I can kind of shorten it by just saying ditto on all of the above. I think Naomi is spot on, and I often counsel people that nobody is going to take your career as seriously as you. If there's training you want to do and they're not going to pay for it, then you may need to consider taking it out of your own pocket, because you could may or may not be with that employer a year from now, but it's what skills you can gain so that you can be in a job and a profession and a career that suits you well. And sometimes that means taking on that responsibility and that expense. Very important. One other thing I'd like to add is that as project managers, it's really important that we help the people around us shine and to grow their expertise. The more that their expertise lends to the project, the more they shine, the more you do as a leader. I think often, there's a tendency to want to try to do it all or handle everything or be as smart as everybody else in the room. But that's not what the best leaders do. The best leaders say, I want to hire people smarter than me, at least in those topics that I don't have a need to know or have a responsibility to know, to help round out this team to be the best that it can be.
Awesome. I would like very much to thank our panel. for a coffee cup style conversation about women in project management. I see that we could easily extend this to dinner and dessert, and talk well into the night. But we do need to wrap up the seminar for those people listening. I just want to reintroduce you to the people of the panel. Myself, Martin Chernenkov. My bio is here, and my website is pduotv.com, which is Professional Development Unit of the Day. Naomi Cayetti, this year's chair for International Project Management. As I said earlier, she is a blogger, a speaker, and an author of many, many articles on the website. She's come to us today from Northern California. Well worth taking a look at her website and her blog articles. Deanne, thank you very much for speaking to us today from New Zealand and helping us with that international perspective, with the change management perspective. Deanne's blog website is called Unlike Before, and it focuses, tells you about her philosophy and her company. And finally, Vicky James, PMP and CVAP, her website, PPS Solutions, and thank you very much to all of the panel, and also a thank you to our technical person, Samad Adin, for providing the recordings today. Yeah, Samad's website is the Guerrilla Project Manager, Guerrilla, a very worthwhile resource for project managers. Thank you very much for your time today. If you have questions for any of our panelists, the presentation includes their websites and also their email address. We're all very open to your comments, questions, and contacts. Thank you, and that concludes our seminar for the day.